together. Come on.
While I pray, no matter.
Good morning, good morning to everyone on this beautiful, marvelous Monday. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that each and every one of you enjoyed your weekend as we start a new day, a new beginning, a new dawn, a new break of dawn. God woke us up this morning, so we're going to give him the highest praise, which is hallelujah. We're going to thank him and just be glad in each and everything, every situation that we may incur on today. We are still going to be glad. We're going to be joyful. We're going to continue to praise the Lord at all times. We're going to just stay in his presence no matter what. So this morning, we're going to command our atmosphere to be in the presence of the Lord. We're decreeing and declaring that nothing will take away our joy. Nothing will allow us to get into a place where it causes us to be angered and sin, but we will be mighty conquerors on today. So we need you to renew your mind. We decree and declare a renewed mind. We decree and declare a clean heart, and that we will walk in a way of victory on today. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you, Father, for another day. Thanking you, Lord, for being able to be in your midst, Father God. We just love you, Father God, because you are majesty, Father God. You are our everything, Father God. You're miraculous, Father God. You're wonderful, Father God. And we love you, Father God. We love you, Father, because you first loved us, Father, and you continually, day after day, moment after moment, second after second, Father God, love us, Father God. You never leave us nor forsake you, Father God. And we just, we love you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt thee, Father God, for all the love that you have for us, for all the forgiveness that you have for us, Father God, all the patience that you have for us, Father God, as we continue, Lord Jesus, to make steps closer to you, as we strive, Father God, to do things in a better way, Father God, as we press on, Father God, for the mark, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. And Father, this morning, we want to say a special prayer, Father, for all those that are going through some form of bereavement, Father. We ask you to touch their heart, Father God. Continue to let them know, Father God, that you're with them and the family, Lord Jesus. And let them know, Father God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And we just thank you about that this morning. And for all that are feeling sick this morning, I just sit and tell you to encourage yourself. Father God, give them the spirit of encouragement, Father God. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And as myself and Monica come before you this morning, Lord, we ask you to decrease us, Father God. And let your Holy Spirit, Father, be the guide. Let us follow your Father God. Not lean on our own understanding about anything, Father, but to continue to trust you, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this broadcast, Father. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come out over the airways and witness your true unadulterated word, Father God. So, Lord, we just ask you to pour into us, Father God, as we pour into others, Lord. Just keep us filled up, Father God. Let us stay right in the vein, Father God. Not go backwards, not go forwards, not go sideways, Father God. But stay right, Father God, where you will have us to be, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. This morning, somebody needs to encourage themselves. Encourage yourself. You're pouring out to others, but you need to sometimes encourage yourself. Take a moment right now, whoever you are. You know who you are. Take a moment right now and speak over your own self. Speak the things that the words of God, the wisdom, the knowledge that you're giving to someone else, speak it back to yourself because you deserve it. You deserve everything, every word that you're sending out. You deserve it, and you need to know that sometimes those words are for yourself, and you need to grab hold on to it. And just allow it to resonate in your body and then apply the same words of wisdom, the words of encouragement to yourself. Once again, it's a blessing to be back on the line with you all. Satan thought he had a trick put into place, but you know, as my apostles say, we always ahead of the game. So we can't, that just gives us time to sit and come back a little bit stronger. Get our ammunition up a little bit better so we can start shooting the bullets. All those fiery dots, we ready to do the little matrix on it to you know, not let them touch us, not let them get us, and our armor is even thicker. So as we left off, we were talking about being an effective witness, disciple, going out and spreading the word of God. And one thing that we do realize is this. And the scripture that we're standing on today is we have to, in order to be effective witness and discipleship, because the object is to win souls, to let people have eternal salvation. We must forget about the past and press forward for the prize. And the scripture that we're standing on is Philippians 3:13-14. Paul says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." And in order for us to reach that heavenly prize, Paul put in some work, and he had to. He had to forget about his past, just you and I. Now, when I say forget about your past, I'm talking about your past hurt, your past shame, your past anything that's hindering you from being able to go out to be an effective witness. Because when you go out in the street and you are trying to witness to people, you realize that you are going to come against some diabolical forces. You are going to come against some forces that's not going to want to hear what you have to say. You're dealing with some people that may have demonic spirits dealing with them, just like when the spirit seen Jesus when he came to the man that was in the cemetery. And God had to cast those spirits out to the swine. So you're going to deal with people out there ministering, being a disciple to people that come from all walks of life. You're going to talk to people. You might sit and try to talk to a Muslim from the Nation of Islam, a Buddhist, a person that does Ifah. So you have to be in a place where you are completely comfortable, completely confident, and know what you know, And we know we do these things, again, by our personal relationship with God, studying the word, meditating on the word, and doing what is right. But we sometimes get in a place where we like to waddle in our pity. We like to sit in and make it feel like we're not worthy. We are worthy, because when you ask God to forgive you for your sins, he forgives you for your sins. God gave us beauty for ashes. Everything that you sat and you went through, you went through it. You may have went through it. You went through it. I can speak for me. I went through it because I was just ignorant to fact. I was in darkness. I was in darkness, but when God light shone on me and I knew better, I no longer sat and waddled in my pity. I no longer sat and let a person sit and talk to me. It happens to me all the time. How can you speak about the word of God when you had this, and this go on? But let me tell you why I'm able to speak about the word of God. Because when I made a conscious decision, and God renewed my mind, and I'm constantly every day asking him to renew my mind, creating me a clean heart. He's putting me in a place where I don't have to sit and worry about what happened on yesterday. He's putting me in a place where he's sitting and saying, yes, you were broken, but when you fell down, I remolded you and I brought you back up. And when you made a conscious decision to plant your feet on solid ground, stay steadfast and unmovable, and reach, that's what Paul said. See, he said you had to reach. You had to press on and reach. It's a two-pronged movement there. Pressing, you keep moving forward. You're pressing no matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter what the situation is, no matter who's sitting in throwing word games at you, their words are not going to prosper. They're going to be condemned because that's what the word of God said. But you keep moving on. You're not allowing anybody or anyone to bring your past up against you, because guess what? God does it. When you have a past conversation, it should be a testimony to help somebody be somebody in God's kingdom. It shouldn't be about, yeah, well, I can't go out there, I can't witness because I'm an ex this, I'm an ex that. You said it right. You are an ex. And when you ask God, God sat and said, I'm going to remove your sins from as far as the east to the west, and I am building you up, and I'm putting you on solid ground. And I want to say this to you. We get ready to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And mark my word when I say this. Every disciple, every prophet, everybody that God used had something that was just not, they were not a perfect person, because Jesus is the only perfect person. But they had a story behind them. But still, God still chose them to use them to be fishermen of men. Whether you bring it going out a prophetic word, whether you're preaching, you're teaching, God used people with blemishes, because he does not need a perfect person that he cannot teach, that he cannot nurture, and that he cannot train to reach the multitude of his people. So I sit and say to you before I turn this over to Monica that you have to forget about your past and realize where you're going. You're pressing on. You're pressing. You take on a new identity. You let the old you, which is the old sinful nature, stay where it's at, and you've taken on your new identity, and now you're walking with Christ, in Christ, and you're not going towards the prize. And while you're doing that, you're building your character, you're building your confidence, you're building your endurance, you're studying, you're obtaining what you're retaining, what you're studying, and you're able to then give it out. But while you're doing that, you're reaching and you're still pressing towards the prize. I reiterate, do not let people sit and put you in a place where you feel like you're not worthy, because it's not what man say, it's what God say. And if you're here today, and if you have a voice that you can speak, and you know that you're studying the word of God, it is our duty. It is our duty to go out and be fishermen of men. You don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be an apostle, an evangelist, a preacher, a teacher. We're all disciples. We all need to go out. It is a mandate for us to go out. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. How is that, evangelist Nita? Because we are going out and we're spreading the word of God. We are letting people know that they can obtain eternal salvation. And then we are giving them the list of things that needs to be done. But if you sitting there the entire time talking about what you used to do and how you used to do it, and you can't be effective with it, then you need not say anything. You need not go out and talk about how you're this person and this person say you this person. Or when you come up against a past, one of your past acquaintance that you may have done your mess with, you're able to sit and let them tear you down because they know your story. No, that's when you stand up and you press on and you keep moving. Turning it over to you, Monica.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Isn't this a glorious day that the Lord has made? Well, honey, brothers and sisters, I'm asking you right now, please pull out your swords, because we're getting ready to sharpen some swords this morning. As my sister said, God took us to the witnessing subject, and the message of witnessing was so powerful that the Holy Spirit told us that we had to park on this thing. And because we're parking on this thing, we have to go in deeper, to dig deeper, and we're going to sharpen our swords even sharper, because this witnessing is vital. It's vital to God kingdom. But the thing of it is, the enemy doesn't want it to happen. And because he doesn't want it to happen, his strategy is to kill, steal, and destroy everyone's confidence in witnessing. But not on today, because we're building confidence on today. We're getting ready to go in and we're going to sharpen our sword, that sword in Ephesians 6, that sword of the gospel. The sword of the word. And because we went in on last week and we spoke about the shoes of the peace of gospel that we wear in that Ephesians 4 armor of God, we're going to go on and we're going to sharpen our sword so that when we are walking in that witnessing and we're sharing that gospel, when we're in them shoes of the full armor of God, we're going to be effective in our witnessing. But see, we have to know that there are strange and evil and dark forces that want us to be quiet, to be silent, and not have that confidence. So that's why the enemy has to be cunning, and he has to go in, and he has to attack your mind, and he wants to bring up your past, and he wants to make you think that you're not worthy of speaking a testimony or witnessing. But see, that's where he's a liar. He's a liar and the truth is not in him. God said for us to give this word on this morning. God said for us to let everyone know that that past does not matter. But see, it not only does not matter just for the person witnessing, we have to bring that same message across to the person we're witnessing to. Because how can they not know what we know? We're worthy of witnessing and our past doesn't matter because we were forgiven for that past. We have faith and understanding that we were given and that we have that we're new creatures in Christ, but we have to relay that same message as well. So how do we get that message across? First and foremost, because we have lived it and we know that we have the confidence that our past is no longer a factor in where we go in Christ. That means that we have to also witness and testify to that fact. See, that fact is, even though I did have a past, I have a future as well, and my future is in Christ. My future is in God's kingdom as a citizen. Because, see, I left the old land of sin and doubt and shame and of ungodly living. But, see, now that I become a citizen of God's kingdom, this is how I'm able to move on. So I say to you, come into knowing that you have not only become a kingdom, but you have citizen rights, and that whoever you're witnessing to, allow them, make them understand that the same citizen rights that you have, that they can have too when they become a citizen of his kingdom. And how can they get those rights? What are those rights? And all those things that come with it. So when I go into these citizen rights, I want everyone to remember all the things, all the blessings, all the provision that God gave them to give them the authority, to give them the ability, to give them the right to speak on what they witnessed in their life, they've experienced in their life, and that the enemy can't take that from them because God gave you that experience. God gave you that authority to witness and testify, to give you a testimony that when you do go before someone, you know what you're talking about. You know it in your heart because the Holy Spirit gave it to you. He gave you that experience, and you only, because that was your life. This is your life that you're speaking about, and that you're telling someone that God changed it, that Jesus Christ, salvation is real, that there is life, there is eternal life in what you're speaking on. So because the best testimony is word of mouth, because whenever I say something and I put my stamp of appeal on it, it means something to the next person that's listening to me. I've said many times before, everyone, when we sharpen our swords, we have to be able to bring forth scripture and know what we're talking about. Not only just witnessing, but we have to know exactly what we're talking about in God's word. And when we go into God's word, we find out that we know what is real love because Jesus gave his life for us. Now, this is a fact, but because he gave his life for us, we have to inform the people that we're witnessing to that this love is so real that they have to know that he gave his life for them as well. And in that witnessing, we have to show them in the word and know that we are able to prove what we're saying. We're not just speaking and throwing stuff out there in the atmosphere. So in the scriptures we have where in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's one thing that we have to remember when we're actually trying to witness, because we want to be able to stand on what we're talking about. And when we stand on what we're talking about, we're standing on it in God's word. So that's what the sword sharpening is about. And when we stand on it, we're going on what happens and what we need to do to make sure that they have an excellent understanding in where we're going and our points that we're making. As we talk about the rights that we have as citizens of God in God's kingdom, we have to tell them about the eternal salvation, the amnesty without background or past sins being held against us when we try to enter in God's kingdom by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As we move on that word and telling them that we can become citizens and that we have the ability to become citizens without the background and our past sins being held against us, then the person we're witnessing to understands that we have experienced it as well. We're not just talking into the air. We're talking about something that we've experienced because God, he forgave all of our sins. He forgave us for all of our sins, and he brought us into a new life, and we became a new creature in Christ. And we have to convince them that we know what we're talking about, because at the end of the day, prove that we have it. If we can't show that we have it, then they won't believe us when we say it, and they won't believe that they can have it as well. But see, we also have to let them know that there's a Social Security card that comes with this citizenship. This Social Security card, the same way the United States gives out Social Security numbers, the kingdom of God gives out a name, gives our name, and it puts our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's in Revelation. And see, we also have to remind the people and let them know, because, see, we're talking to people that may have never been encountered, have never encountered a Christian or the understanding of what walking with Christ is about. So if they're from another religion and converting, or if they're just somebody that has backslid and come back to Christ, we have to break it down for them so that they have an understanding that it won't be foreign and it won't be hard to understand what's going on. But as a citizen, we have to let them know that they have a right to have a relationship with the Father, and that he's going to adopt them, and that they're going to become children of God, the sons and daughters of God. And see, that's where we are now. We are already sons and daughters of God. Our names is already in the Lamb's Book of Life. But see, we have to let them know that they have that same right and privilege as well. And then we also have to let them know about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Comforter that gives you peace in every situation. No matter where you go and what you're going through, you have God's Holy Spirit that's going to lead you. It's going to guide you, and it's going to teach you in all things, that you will be wise and have wisdom to the point no man can ever question what your source is, because it's got to be a heavenly or divine knowledge or wisdom. And then that knowledge that comes with just knowing things and having the ability to prophetically speak into the atmosphere and change the situations that you're in. But we also have to let them know that there's a healing there, that citizens have a right to a healing. Let them know you got a right to be healed of your illnesses, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual. We have to let them know that. And then we have to let them know about the protection of God's hand over their life, that hedge of protection that he puts upon his children. Because, see, he loves us so much, he would not have us go through anything unjust. He is a God that is a God of justice, and that he loves his people, and that he's going to have favor over us. You have to let them know that there's a favor in your life that you will have as a citizen of the kingdom, that you're going to have an abundant provision provided for you, and that God righteous above and beyond all things, that his grace and mercy goes above and beyond all situations, so that their past does not matter, that their sins have been forgiven, because when we go before him and confess our sins, that it is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness as well. Once we're forgiven, we are forgiven, that we don't have to answer to that sin. We don't have to be bound and enslaved by that sin. That bondage is broken. Those chains are broken. And that we will have supernatural and miraculous authority through God's Holy Spirit by faith, that we will be able to conquer all things that are set before us, and that in this world and in the next world, in this life and in the next life, we're going to have the ability to have a true and joyous and wonderful relationship with our Creator, with our Lord, with our Savior, with the one true living God. And most importantly, we'll have the opportunity to not just all those provisions and all those things that God has given us, but most importantly, we're going to have a voice to be heard by praying and praising God. This is what it's like to be a citizen of the United States with a vote in the election, in the say-so of who is your governor and who is your mayor and who is your president. Well, guess what? This vote is just a vote of saying so that, God, this situation is not going in the right direction, and I'm crying out to you. And these prayers and these praises are actually getting God's attention, and that he hears you, and that your petition matters. What other God could even have that ability to change the circumstances? Because if it's in God's will, all things are possible. But his people have a say-so, because all they have to do is cry out. And the Bible says that we can even just groan in our spirit. We can just groan in our spirit, and the Holy Spirit will intercede that thing, will take that thing, and it will be understood what we need, what we want, what we're crying out for. So when we become effective witnesses, we have to let those things come out and be put across, because, see, we receive those things. And if you really, really love the Lord and you know what you're talking about and you're out there telling somebody your story, all of these things have been active in your life. You're proof of it. You're walking proof of it. See, you're a walking Bible then, because, see, you may be the only Bible someone reads today. You may be the only Bible someone comes in contact with today. And this witnessing is so powerful that we cannot leave it. We cannot let it stay dormant. We have to use it. We have to actively use it. And see, that's where, when we are in Ephesians full armor of God, and we have that piece of gospel shoes upon our feet, we're able to pull out that sword and pull in the things of God that he has spoken to us, that he has given us in his word. Because like I said earlier, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. See, a lot of people haven't grasped that concept. And when you speak on it, when you give that word, that is something that you can go through. You can go to in the word of God. You can pull out a Bible, tell them to go look it. Go look it up. John 3:16. I mean, it's a simple little tool, but it's a powerful tool. It says it all when you're witnessing. But see, your witness is going to be a more powerful witness because of the things that you have been forgiven for. You don't have to tell about your past. You don't have to talk about your past unless the Spirit moves you. But you have the ability to witness on something that's real, that is life-changing, because it changed your life. And it's going to change someone else's life, because whatever you went through and whatever you were delivered from, it may speak to someone else's situation that was similar to yours. And they couldn't hear the last few people that witnessed to them before you because they had nothing in common with them. But see, what you have in common with them, you can speak on that situation because you've been through what they're going through. And so they can see the power and the importance of what your witness is. And your testimony will be important because, see, you've been where they're gone. You've been where they are going. And the thing is, when we have that witness where we can effectively get across something, it gives them an opportunity to have faith, to try God, to try Jesus, to try Jesus Christ, to have that opportunity to be redeemed. Because, see, their soul is lost. And we can't go on and think that we're going to head to the cross and leave one soul behind. That's what winning souls is about, people. Brothers and sisters, we have to keep this mind of we're worthy of giving this witness and this testimony, that we are not going to be tricked by the enemy and told that our witness is not going to be effective. We can't live in the past and think that we're not going to be able to witness and tell anybody anything because we're still struggling with self-condemnation. No, no, no. God already told us that we are to move forward, and that in Philippians 3:14, that our past doesn't matter. It's what lies ahead that matters. It's what God has for you in your future. In my favorite passage in Jeremiah 29:11. Oh Lord, all the great things that I have for you of an expected end of good, not evil. See, God had an expected end for every single one in Israel, as well as the nation of Israel. And that's where we have to keep in mind that everyone has an expected end of good and not evil. But we have to strive for it. We have to fight for it. And we got to fight for our rights. But while we're fighting for our rights, we can't leave the ones behind that got lost in the sauce. We can't leave the ones behind that don't know who Jesus Christ is. We have to spread the word. We have to give that word. We have to give that hope. We have to give them faith. We have to let them know that the enemy is a liar and that all hope is all in Christ, that our Lord and Savior has a plan of redemption, and that they can come out of whatever situation they're in, whatever lifestyle they're in, whether it be an illness, an incarceration, a lifestyle of enslavement, all kinds of spiritual addictions, all kinds of physical addiction, whatever it is, he is the answer. He is the cure. He is the cure in the pandemic of life, not the pandemic of this world, but the pandemic of life where the enemy has people sitting around waiting on a vaccine. The vaccine was already put out there before the pandemic came along. The cure is Jesus Christ, the redemption of your soul, that you were planned. You were planned to become a child of God. There was a plan to redeem your soul, that it would not be lost. And because you've been redeemed, we have to reach back and we have to pull those souls with us that were lost in the sauce as well. We have to pull them with us. And if we can only pull one or two, that's all right, because your witness is important. And don't ever let the enemy bring you down. Don't ever let him speak on you. Don't ever let him use people in your presence that know about your past. Speak on whether or not you're a witness. Can't judge you. Only God can judge you. And at the end of the day, we have a responsibility. We're called as saints. So saints, stand up this morning. Sharpen your swords. Pull out those scriptures that let people know what the word of God says about their situation. Let them understand that their name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's their revelation. If nobody knows it, Revelation 21 and 27, it says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor will anyone with practices of shame or idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will receive eternal life. See, Revelation speaks on it. Psalm speaks on the Lamb's Book of Life, that your name, it says, that your name should never be erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and things that would take you out of the Lamb's Book of Life after you've been saved and redeemed. But it also says in Revelation 20 and 15 that anyone whose name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire. So we have a lot of understanding that we have to have as saints to know the word of God, that we can rightfully divide the truth. But we also have the sword of the word, that we can give them the word so that they can go and search the scriptures and see that everything that we're saying is based on fact. It's based on the word of God, every word that came out of the mouth of God. Sister, is there anything else you want to add to what I've said or expound on?
Only thing I can sit and add to that, that was a lot of meat. Thank you, sister, is that just know that redemption, Jesus already redeemed us. He's already went to the cross for us. He's already put us in our rightful standing. It's a decision that you and I have to make, a conscious decision, and we have to take on the call. It's a call of duty, and it's something that you have to, and it has to be embedded in your heart. It's not a game. It's necessary. It is necessary for us to go out and witness to the people, because as Monica says, some people may have not even had an encounter, but the message that we do need to get out to them is let them know that God, that Jesus already paid the price for us. He already died. He ascended. He left us with the Holy Spirit, something that Spirit, not something, the Holy Spirit, the name of it, is to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, not to sit in. And it is sometimes, it will straighten you, it will correct you, and that correction may not feel good. But the beauty of it is that we know that God is not a liar. We know that Jesus Christ loved us, and we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. And what we want the world to know is that they can receive exactly what we have received. We want everybody to know and feel the power of God. We want everybody to be connected to that power surge. We do not want you to have your light temporarily cut off. We want you to be connected, so you can reap the benefits being a kingdom citizen. So you can reap the benefits and keep pressing on and keep moving on and keep reaching. You do not have to be doubtful. You do not have to be shameful, because God does not see what man sees. God sees exactly what he created. So that's a message we need to get to the people, that God is not man, and he shall not lie. That he comes in spirit and truth, and he does not hold us hostage in no way, shape, or form. Whatever you did in your past, you've already been redeemed if you just ask, if you walk into it and you accept the salvation that Jesus Christ is the head of your life. He is the truth, the way, and the light. And there is no other way. There is no other way to eternal life without going down that road. So that's all I have to say. I don't know if there's anything else that you need to say, sister.
Well, I just know that the Holy Spirit put it on our hearts to even come into the subject of witnessing. But when he told sister, when he told you to park right here, he began to pour a lot of things out that we are lacking when we try to witness, and that he wants us to sharpen that sword. And it's just a cry out to his people that, yeah, you're his people. He says that we are his people. But see, there are so many left behind. And that when we love and we truly love the way Jesus Christ loved the world, that he gave his life for us, that we are to give our, we're to give our time and our energy the way Christ gave his life for us, that we would not see another soul we left behind, that somebody not receive the same eternal salvation we had because somebody prayed for us. And it goes back to us interceding for the same people that we may encounter when we witness. Just remember that your witness is not over when you walk away from that individual. You still have to intercede for them. You still have to pray them through. It might be days. It might be weeks. It might be years before that person comes to Christ. But it's a responsibility. If you truly love God's people, if you truly love people, you're going to love the soul, and that soul needs to be saved the same way your soul was saved. And just have that compassion, because God had compassion on us. He had compassion on his children, that he gave his only begotten son, that we would have our souls redeemed, and that we should have the same compassion of Christ, that we would give up, we would sacrifice our time, we would sacrifice our days, we would sacrifice our love and energy to pour into people that may not receive it immediately. But don't give up on them. Don't give up on the ones that have no faith right now. Don't give up on the ones that don't believe yet. Because, see, you have that spiritual prophetic anointing that you can speak things into existence, that you can speak into their life, that the Holy Spirit will give you the authority by your faith to speak that that person will come to Christ. And we just have to keep that mindset that we have that anointing, that we have that ability because we're made in our Father's image and that we are given the mind and hearts of Christ. Follow him when we love him, when we trust and believe in the word of God, when we know what is real, when we've been shown what is real, and we just have to stand on that thing, even in our interceding, even in praying someone through. So pray someone through today, even if you don't get that encounter with them, even if you're not allowed to witness to them in person, still have that same mindset that you're going to pray them through from a distance. You can love people from a distance. You can love a soul from a distance. And I leave that on your hearts and minds today, people. This sword is sharpened. We got to go out there and use it. Fight the enemy's lies, deceit, and destructive mindset on making people believe that their past matters. It does not matter. I'm turning it back over to sister.
And as before, I pray that you all receive somebody was touched on today. And as we always do, we always cordially invite you to come out and break the bread of life with us. We are full. I mean, we're not in a state of gluttony, but I am in a state. Sometimes I just want more and more and more. I get excited just like a child waiting for them big baby dolls or those little skates that I used to get as a child. I'd be so excited when it comes time to hear the word of God. I'm excited to know that I'm learning something new each and every day. God teaches us something new, and we just have to be in a place to receive it, and then we have to be in another place to share it. So I want to continuously invite you all, cordially invite you to break the bread of life, come and receive the living water, thirst no more, full course meal, drinks are included. Come out with us. The number is 385-799-9620. Come out, hear what God is speaking to through our apostle prophet Temple Spencer, one that's going to give it to you, the truthful way, not the traditional way. So you do not want to sit and miss that. And we will see you on the line tonight and again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Be prepared. Have your notes. Buckle your seatbelt. And just try to be in an atmosphere where you're have your mindset ready and prepared to learn, to receive, and to just be able to just take it all in. And I promise you that it's an experience that's going to experiences that you have. They're going to help you, not hurt you. The notes, the wisdom, the knowledge that God is pouring out in this season is to help us, not to harm us. So you want to be a part of that. ADM loves you, but guess what? We know that God loves all of us most. So you all enjoy your day. Remember, today we're not letting anything and anybody put us in a place where that they're going to trample over our joy. We will remain in a joyful spirit no matter what. When Satan and his imps come, you identify them and you speak the word of God and let them know that you have no time, no place, no energy to deal with them on today, because this is the day that the Lord has made and we shall rejoice. See you tonight. Have a great day.